Thank you very much, Mr. West Tuttle. I've heard some of these, but some of these I haven't. It comes across as a fifth grade teacher in a Christian school asked her class to look at TV commercials and see if they could use them in some way to communicate ideas about God. So here are some of the things. God is like bear aspirin. He works miracles. God is like a Ford. He's got a better idea. God is like Coke. He's the real thing. God is like Hallmark cards. He cares enough to send his very best. God is like Tide. He gets the stains out that others leave behind. God is like General Electric. He brings good things to life. God is like Sears. He has everything. God is like Alka-Seltzer. Try him. You'll like him. God is like Scotch tape. You can't see him, but you know he's there. God is like Delta. He's ready when you are. God is like Allstate. You're in good hands with him. God is like, this one I hadn't heard. God is like VO hairspray. He holds through all kinds of weather. God is like Dial soap. Aren't you glad you have him? Don't you wish everybody did? God is like the U.S. Post Office. Neither rain nor snow nor sleet nor ice will keep him from his appointed destination. God is like Chevrolet, the heartbeat of America. God is like Maxwell House, good to the very last drop. God is like Bounty. He is the quicker picker-upper, can handle the tough jobs. He won't fall apart on you. So, those are just some things.
Internet?
Where'd you get those? Yeah, somebody sent them to me. Yeah. If I don't know the person, I delete. And then I just know certain people, and if they have a whole bunch on there, I'll just take a glance and see and if I need to look at it. And okay, let's turn to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Gospel of John 14. We're in the prayer part. And speaking of prayer, need to be in prayer for Tish. Don't know where she is tonight, but probably the storm scared her away. And we need to be in prayer for her. Need to be in prayer for Nathan. The time is winding down. So, need to be in prayer for Amber. She needs our prayers. We need to be in prayer for Don and Nancy Becker. They're traveling, and they certainly need our prayers for travel, as well as Nancy on her back. Traveling sometime can disrupt her back. Let's see, any other prayer requests? I'm not aware of, yes. Be in prayer for Betty Soup and our grandchildren. There's Steve, so we can quit talking about him. Judith Hoffman got out of the hospital, and she is doing well. She is back to her mean self and back to just the full gear in the office and in life, and wants to get back to her cats and swimming and all kinds of things. So we're really happy that everything went well. And I do understand some people, they ask if she wanted to see the stone and all this. Oh, yeah. I wouldn't want to see it. My goodness. I'm just glad it's out of there. Let me go now. You can go play marbles with it. I'm ready to move on. But I'm just so happy that everything went well with Judith's operation. So that's wonderful. Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for life. Fundamental to us is that you're in the life-giving business. And then, Heavenly Father, we are grateful for eternal life, that you took our soul and expanded it into eternity with you, the ability and capacity of fellowship with you and your Son. And then, Heavenly Father, life here on earth and the power of your Spirit who gives life. How grateful we are for life. How thankful we are. Every day is valuable. To waste not a day. And Father, we pray now that as we look at some of these things and dealing with the greater works with prayer, that we will utilize prayer in all areas of our life, but especially in regard to greater works, Father. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Verse 14. Last week we ended up with Isaiah 63:10, and now we resume back, right without any review, at the Gospel of John, chapter 14. And we are in verse 14. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, this expression is used other times in the Gospel of John, sometimes of God the Father, sometimes of Jesus Christ. Some of these passages on God the Father help us to understand praying in Jesus' name. And we've spent now, last week, probably 2 weeks now on this. So why are we spending so much time on this phrase? And the reason I'm spending this time on it so valuably is that so many people do not understand it at all. And many others confuse its meaning. Many think it's a magic formula, that if they just pray and add to the end of their prayer in Jesus' name, that that's what this verse is talking about, and that's the promises related to it. To understand praying in His name, we want to kind of go back to the union model. That is Jesus Christ and the Father and Jesus Christ. Christ set the pattern for us in the necessity of praying, how He was always stealing away somewhere, some remote place often by Himself to pray. In some cases, He prayed all night, other times for hours at a time. Now, I don't know how long anyone's prayed, and you get no medals because you prayed a long time. Who prayed the most? You get no medals for it. Different people have different things, ways that their mind can do this. Sometimes, I know in my own experience, sometimes the heaviness of something on my mind or in life or in something, I can pray much longer. And so you get no prize for it. But my point is that Jesus Christ was noted for His prayer. And this is the Son of God. So Jesus Christ set the pattern doing everything. And He did it in someone else's name. He did it in the Father's name. We do things not in our name, but in Jesus Christ's name. If we're going to serve Him, we must follow Him. And from Jesus Christ we learn how to love, and we learn how to pray, and how to come in someone else's name. He came in someone else's name to do someone else's work. So let's first of all look at the Gospel of John chapter 5. Let's go back to John chapter 5 a moment. John chapter 5, verse 43. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another shall come in his own name, you shall receive him." Now, this whole passage is really powerful. Let's start in verse 39. Verse 39. "You search the scriptures." He's talking to the Pharisees. "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is these that bear witness of me." Eternal life is not in the scriptures. They've made it a God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Bible. It's not a God. It's the Word of God, contains the Word of God. But it's not God. Verse 40. "And you are unwilling to come to me. The scriptures that you search point to me, but you're unwilling to come to me, that you may have life." God is in the life-giving business. Soul life at birth, eternal life at faith in Christ, second birth, and daily life in the power of the Spirit. And he says, "And you were unwilling to come to me in order that you may have life. I do not receive glory from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in yourselves." If they don't have him, they don't have the Spirit, they don't have the love. "I have come in my Father's name, and you did not receive me. If another shall come in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another, and you do not seek the glory that is from the one and only God?" It's a powerful phrase, the one and only God. I need to incorporate this in our Romans 1 study. "Do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. The one who accuses you is Moses, in whom you have set your hope. For if you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he," Moses, "wrote of me." It's a powerful phrase in dealing with history. "But if you do not believe his writing, how will you believe my words?" So verse 43, "I come in my Father's name, not my own name, but my Father's. Therefore, everything I do is God the Father, not me. It's him doing his work in me." Look at chapter 10 a moment, please. Chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 25. Chapter 10, verse 25. "Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these bear witness of me." So, we do them in his name, they did it in his Father's name. Let's look at chapter 12. It takes humility, which is the opposite of arrogance. It takes humility to completely set yourself aside and do something in someone else's name. Just as works of Jesus Christ, being God the Father, working in him, bearing witness of him, just as our works and our prayers should bear witness of Jesus Christ. John the Baptist wrote, "I must decrease that he increase." And this is an attitude that we should have in regard to Jesus Christ. As we saw last night in dealing with the rapture, Christ could come at any moment. We're occupied with him in his coming. Chapter 12, verse 13, "took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and began to cry out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." Now, they didn't realize what they were saying, and they left out the part of the Old Testament says, but nevertheless, the ideal is he came in the name of the Father. Now, chapter 17, Let's look over 14, 15, and 16 and go to 17. Chapter 17 is most helpful for the other four references of the Father's name in this one chapter. And by the way, this is in a prayer of Jesus Christ. It's in a prayer of Jesus Christ and has some wonderful references in dealing with the Father. So first of all, let's look at 17:6. I manifest, I Jesus Christ, manifest thy name. To manifest his name was to manifest his person, his desires, his plan. I manifest thy name to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me, and they have kept thy word. Look at verses 11 and 12. And I am no more in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which thou hast given me, that they may be one, even as we are one, you and I, God the Father. While I was with them, I was keeping them in thy name, which thou gavest me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. That's Judas Iscariot. Verse 26, chapter 17, verse 26. And I have made thy name known to them, and will make it known, that the love wherewith thou didst love me may be in them, and I in them, even I in them. This is our opportunity to make known the name of Jesus Christ by making known his love. Whose love do you love by? By the love that is given of the Holy Spirit, and that's the love of Jesus Christ. So, we pray in Jesus' name. John chapter 14 now. Go back to John 14, verse 14. All right, the question comes not readily, but if we just thought about who and what he is, are we adequate to pray in Jesus' name? Are we adequate to pray in Jesus' name? We are told to be wise of the schemes of Satan. And Satan uses two tactics against us. Two tactics. One, keep us from praying in his name by our feeling unworthy, by getting us to sin, to fail again and again, so that we feel unworthy to pray in his name. The second scheme that he uses, and that works on a lot of people at various times in their life, some people throughout their life. The second one, keep us from praying in his name by an illusion of worthiness. We're deceive ourselves by letting us have some successes, self-righteousness, like, well, I'm worthy to pray in his name because of my merit. Satan uses both. He uses the arrogance in the humility of being just totally devastated with ourselves, which is what arrogance also can do to us. I know we don't think of arrogance that way. But when you really feel very bad, 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 so bad that you cannot pray in his name and you're not worthy to be, that's an arrogance. Then you have the arrogance on the other end that I am so great that I can pray in his name. People in the flesh, none of us are worthy to pray in his name. In the flesh, we cannot pray in his name. Not only are we not worthy, we can't. But in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the power of his Spirit, we are worthy to pray in his name. in the power of the Holy Spirit is not a matter of how you feel. I feel unworthy. I feel very worthy. How you feel is not the issue when we pray. Power of the Holy Spirit. When we pray in the power of the Holy Spirit, you're worthy because you're praying in the power of the Spirit. So first condition of praying in His name, the first condition of praying in His name is to be filled with the Spirit by faith. Okay, point one. To pray in His name, first of all, means to come to God in prayer as one in Christ. That is, as a believer. One who has accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, we are in union with Jesus Christ by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We are in Him by the baptism of the Spirit. He is in us by the presence of the Holy Spirit. This is why we spent the time looking at Jesus Christ. Every time He did, everything He did was in the Father's name. He had identity with the Father, not His own, but His the God the Father. So it is with us. We are worthy to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. You're worthy to have your prayers answered because you are in His Son. Not because you've done something wonderful. Not because you've lived a wonderful moral life. Not because you give a lot of money. Not because you're always at your... It's because we are in His Son. That's the worthiness. Prayer is for the Christian only. Those in Christ. You cannot pray in His name and not belong to Him. Cannot pray in His name and not belong to Him. In context, all these are true believers in Jesus Christ. Judas is gone. He's already left the room. Note in John 14:17, that is the Holy Spirit. Verse 16, I will ask the Father and He will give you another helper, another one just like me, that He may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. The world cannot receive it till they know Him. Verse 22. Judas, not Iscariot, said to Him, Lord, what then has happened that You are going to disclose Yourself to us and not to the world? Not to the world, not to unbelievers. He's not going to disclose Himself to unbelievers, people. He's going to disclose Himself to believers, and only those believers who walk in the power of the Spirit. This is very important in praying in His name and in our daily life. For there are many people, some Christians, who do not like this kind of teaching, that prayer is only for the believer. There are people that don't like that. People, prayer is a relationship. Coming to Him. Depending on Him. Depending on your Father. It's like somebody else's child doesn't have that place to come to you as a father and a mother. Only your children do. Doesn't mean you're not going to be nice to somebody else, but the point is they cannot come to you as your own children can come to you. You may have some kids or other people as things that are very close, but they're still not your children. When your children come to you, that's a special relationship. And I'm sorry about people who don't appreciate that. Oh, the crying mother, and we're very taken with tears and all this, but people, God isn't. You rejected my Son. I don't see You in my Son. So this is why the union model is so vital. Because of that union model, you can pray in His name because you belong to Him by the saving faith. Don't let Satan or man, legalistic believers, false teachers, friend or enemy, get you to thinking that you are unworthy to pray in Jesus' name and that you are unworthy to have your prayers answered. I don't care what you've done. People, if you're in Christ and you come to the Holy Spirit and you get into the filling of the Spirit by faith, you're worthy. And the world doesn't like that either. Oh, this person's done such horrible things. What Christ looks at, what God is looking at is who's in His Son. That's what He's looking at. It's just powerful and so important. But other religious people, oh, no, no, you've got to earn the right to pray in His name. And don't let them also convince you that you're so good, you're so worthy that God will answer your prayers wrong. Your adequacy is your position in Jesus Christ. Power of the Holy Spirit. Many people feel uncomfortable with the fact that only a believer can pray. Uncomfortable and object to it. It gives them that nice little fuzzy feeling about God and about anybody that can just pray to Him, believer or unbeliever. People, it takes responsibility of faith. Faith in Jesus Christ and in faith in the Holy Spirit. Not even every believer. I don't care how wonderful the believer is, as their prayers can go before the God and pray in Jesus' name out of the Holy Spirit, people. It's just, it's a relationship. That's what I'm trying to show. This is a relationship. The merit is not in because we are members of the human race. The merit is because we are in Christ. There lies the merit. Whitaker Chambers said the difference between liberalism and Christianity is the cross. And we might want to be liberal-minded, oh, everybody, anybody, and all of this type of, as if there's some merit in man. People, the merit's in Christ. He is the one. And if you are in Christ, then we share that. And on that basis, we can pray. God never promises to hear the prayers of unbelievers. He responds to their faith, not their prayers. He responds to faith, not their prayers. When an unbeliever comes and he says a whole lot of things and doesn't impress God, you come and you say, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior. And that's the mental work in your mind, is that faith in Christ that God the Father adheres. Now you can come to Him in prayer. So God the Father responds to faith, not their prayers. Just another reason why unbelievers cannot be saved by asking God into their heart. It's asking God to do something. It's not faith. Asking God into your heart. People, that's not faith. God is not going to respond to what we say. He responds to faith. Not what we say. Come into my heart. You believe in my Son as your Savior. So this is the great issue we have with so many of these false things. Lordship. I make Him Lord. That's not faith. That's man saying something. God is not impressed with what we say. God responds to faith. So, this would be receiving salvation by something that I do. This is being saved by my saying, by my asking, not by the act of faith. God responds to faith of the unbeliever. Not by the unbeliever asking or doing something or thinking something, saying something. This is the same principle holds true for the believer when in sin, people. The carnal believer recovers from sin by faith. Not by promising God he'll never do it again. Not by confessing. Not by works of the tongue or any of these kind of things. Not even the mind of repenting. It's by faith. And God responds to that faith and we're filled with the Spirit. It's amazing how many people can see this in Salvation 1 or Eternal Life Salvation, but not in Salvation 2. It just amazes me. how sound thinking people can see this, that it's by faith and faith alone for salvation one. But boy, when you come to salvation two, which is a form of salvation, no, just by asking, you can get something done. I remember at the pastor's conference, John and I, we went to they had a barbecue for the pastors and their wives and things. Of course, John and I didn't have a wife there, but we went anyway. And we were sitting at a table, and there was a pastor over here, pastor here, and we just kind of started talking, and this whole thing came up, and about doing and asking and obedience. And so we just had fun kind of keying off of each other, not ganging up on them, not just, you know, and I'd say something to John, and it's almost like a rehearsed dialogue here. And the one preacher I know, the one over here, I won't go to who he is, but I know him, but he just, yeah. Now, I don't know if he went on with that and carried it through in his own mind about salvation, spirituality, especially being by faith, but at least I know he heard it, and he saw what we were saying in regard to not asking and doing, and but just by faith, like salvation one is by faith. So it just is amazing to me. Then again, it isn't, because for so long I didn't see it. I taught works, and I thought it was grace. I said works was grace, and it wasn't. And I can't blame anybody for that. That was me. My own mind, I saw it too. Works, grace is works. Works is grace. And then one day, 6 months, he opened up my eyes. So it's just something we have to see what God is going to respond to. He's going to respond to faith. And then when we're in the power of the Spirit and led by the Spirit, then He responds to it, what we say in our prayers. Unbelievers believes in Jesus Christ, the Savior, the saved. And the Holy Spirit enters him. And by the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ comes into him. And there's the union model. I am in Christ by baptism of the Holy Spirit. Christ is in me by the presence of the Holy Spirit. So the first condition of prayer, promised to be answered if you pray in His name, is to be a believer in Christ, to be in Christ. So if you desire your prayers to be answered, first thing, do you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior? Now that He exists, no, not that He exists, but that you believe in Him as your Savior, as the only one who can save you from the guilt and punishment of sins, as the only way of becoming reconciled with God the Father. If not, this is what you need to do in order to have prayers answered. If not, no answer to prayer. No prayer power. Why? Because you're in no position with God. You're not in relationship with God. People, it's a relationship. It's an intimacy between God and man. You don't walk up to someone else who's not your father and say, "Hey, Dad, give me $10. In fact, probably if you worded it that way to your father, you wouldn't get it. But you get the point. So, proper position is our only worthiness, is in praying in Jesus' name, is in being in proper relationship with Him. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, let me just read it to you. "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." Faith in Christ Jesus. Okay, prayers for the children of God. We are sons of God. How are we sons of God? By faith in Jesus Christ. Now you're in a relationship, Father and Son. By the way, not only is there no promise that God will answer the prayer of unbelievers, there is no promise that He will answer prayers by believers outside of those that are related to greater works. Okay, let's take a look at 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12. Some time ago I was asked, and I wasn't in the mind frame, but I'm not young anymore, and if y'all would like to have one of these nights, Tuesday, Wednesday night, devoted to just starting with just taking up books of the New Testament and just reading through and answering the questions that are there and seeing the flow, we might do that. I don't think I'll ever get to any of all of these books by taking the type of time that I like to take. But if we want to just sit down and get together and read through each of the books and just maybe a chapter a night or something, then maybe we'll do that. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's read verses 8 and 9. 2 Corinthians 12, 8 and 9. Concerning this, I entreated the Lord three times that it might depart from me. Verse 7. And because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, to keep me from exalting myself. Now, we don't know, and there are so many speculations on what this was, but all we know is it's a thorn in the flesh. Concerning this, I entreated the Lord three times that it might depart from me. Now, three, how many times did Peter deny the Lord? Three. Three sets a straight line. Remember, geometry had three points, the straight line. Okay. Three kind of says, if he had asked 300 times, it would have been the same answer as the point. This set the pattern. Okay. Concerning this, I entreated the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, I'm not going to answer your prayer, meaning I'm not going to take it away. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Okay, the prayer was not answered. Prayer was personal. Prayer dealt with him and his relationship with God. We can assume, because Christ came and gave him an answer, that he was in the power of the Spirit when he prayed. And he prayed it three times. And the Lord came and said, no, not going to take it away. But I will supply something greater for you. I will supply you something greater. So, personal prayers, people, we have no guarantee God's going to answer our personal prayers. Even in the power of the Spirit, doesn't mean he's going to answer the personal prayers. Okay, second point. First point, got to be a believer in Christ. Point two, pray in his name means that we are coming to God and making our request. Than what Christ has done. Praying in his name means that we are coming to God and making our request on no other basis than on what Jesus Christ has done. His adequacy, not ours. Our being in him. And now you can pray in His name on His adequacy. We do not come to God in prayer supposing that we have some claim on God. We do not come to God in prayer supposing that we have some claim on God. Boy, it is amazing how many people, and it's growing in America today, where children think their parents owe them. And more and more and more are demanding that their parents, and if not their parents, the government. The government owes me. You owe me. And so we come with this idea, well, because of this, because you're my parent, or because you're the government, and because I am, therefore you owe me. People, we have no claim on God to answer our prayers. Don't ever do that. We have no claim on God, whereby God must answer our prayers. Don't misunderstand God and think you have some kind of claim on God. I am worthy in myself. I am moral, righteous, so on. And because I prayed in your Son's name, you must answer this prayer. We must come to God just as we did at the cross, with no claim. With no claim. No binding on God. Just our position in Christ, His Son, and on the merits of Christ alone. So praying in His name means coming to God, making our request on no other claims than on Jesus Christ. Not, you know, well, God, if you'll let me win the lottery, I'll give it, I'll get half of it to the church. See, you got a claim there. No. This is on no other claim than on Christ. Salvation 1, salvation 2 are ready for, if you've studied that, if you understand that, you're ready for understanding praying in Jesus' name. We were saved in salvation 1 in His name. That is, in Jesus Christ, the person, the conscious object of our faith. Our faith in Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, we're saved. Therefore, our prayers in the name of Jesus Christ is going to lead to answered prayer. Salvation 1, the full substance of our faith is Jesus Christ. What is meant by full substance of faith? This means that we add nothing to it. For salvation 1, eternal life salvation, the full substance of our faith is Jesus Christ. This means that we add no work, no merit to our faith. The person of Christ alone. He alone is the full substance, the only object of our faith. So salvation 1, full substance of our faith, Jesus Christ, and God saves. Salvation 2, full substance of our prayers, Jesus Christ. Prayers are answered. Salvation 2, eternal or experiential salvation, deliverance salvation in the believer's life, answered prayer is part of the filling of the Holy Spirit, of the Spirit-filled life. So one, must be a believer. Two, based on the work of Christ on the cross. Three, answered prayer then is seen as part of the pattern of salvation one. Another place that we are familiar with this concept of praying in the name, in His name, is also in spiritual love. Same pattern. What's the full substance of our love? Jesus Christ. Love one another as I have loved. What is spiritual love? Spiritual love is loving as Jesus Christ loves. How did He love? Sacrificial to self for the benefit of others. How did He love? In the power of the Holy Spirit. So we studied this before. We have the work, and the work is spiritual love. The cause. We've studied all of this years ago. The cause, the Holy Spirit. That's something else that I've realized. I haven't finished the the list of First Corinthians 13. So I got a lot of things I'm seeing that I need to get accomplished and get done. So I might have to add another class where I'll be the only one here, but at least to get it done. All right, the cause is the Holy Spirit, and the means is faith. Faith is the means. The consciousness is the gospel and all that's recorded of His love. So the consciousness is His word. Mind thought that goes through. And the person of this love is Jesus Christ. Is Jesus Christ. This is the way Jesus Christ loved. This is the way we're to love. This is the way Christ prayed. This is the way we're to pray. If you can follow that, then you have no problem in understanding praying in Jesus' name. So, how did He love? He loved Jesus Christ. His love was sacrificial to self for the benefit of others. And generally the others were His enemies. How did Jesus Christ love? By the power of God the Holy Spirit, by faith. That's how we love. It's very simple. It's very simple. As He would love, so we love. As He would pray, so we pray. The total substance of this love is Jesus Christ. The total substance of the prayers in Jesus' name is Jesus Christ. Total substance of saving faith, Jesus Christ. Total substance of spiritual love, Jesus Christ. Total substance of answered prayer in the greater works, Jesus Christ. Now here's effective prayer. This is the way Jesus Christ loved. It's the way we should love. This is the way He prayed. It's the way we should pray. Jesus Christ loved and prayed in reference to man's relationship with God the Father. Okay. Jesus Christ loved and prayed. Jesus Christ loved and prayed in reference to man's reconciliation as unbeliever or believer, reconciliation with His Father. And our Father, God the Father. And people, that's His prayer related to that. When He would go away praying, He'd be praying in regard to Jerusalem, in regard to Israel, in regard to all of the members of the human race, all the world. This was His love. This was His prayer. This is how we're to love. This is how we're to pray. Praying in His name is to pray in His love. To pray in His name is to pray in His love. That's why He came, people. He came to bring man to reconciliation with God. That's why He became man, that He might suffer on the cross, so that all members of the human race, the Jew first and then the Gentile, might be reconciled with God the Father. That's why He came. That's His love. That's how we're to love. His prayer was always in reference to what we know as His works, as the greater works. That was His love. That was His prayer. His prayer was not for Himself. Not my will, but Thine be done. Not my will, but Thine be done, Father. His prayer was always, let this cup pass from me. Can I pray, let this cup pass from me? That's the cross. That's the redemption of all mankind. No, I cannot do that. For it's this very purpose that I came. And so all of his prayers in reference, thy will be done, in reference, his prayer in his name is to pray in his love. That's the way he loved. That's why he went to the cross. Principle, to pray in his name is to pray as one who lives in Christ, in whom Christ lives. To pray in his name is to pray as one who lives in Christ, union model, and in whom Christ lives. Therefore, to pray in his name is to pray as he would pray, and to love as he loves. To pray as he loves. To pray as he loves. That's praying in his name. To pray as he loves. This is a prayer that God the Father can answer. To pray in Jesus' name is to pray the same desires that Jesus Christ desired. His whole life's desire was your redemption and the world's redemption. That's why he came. That's his desire. That's his love. That's his work. That's his passion. That has to be ours. So first pray in his name, pray with the same desires that Jesus Christ desired. Now, this brings about the question. How can I have the desires of Jesus Christ? This is powerfully important now. Right now, we've just been sitting here, and some of you have been taking notes, and this sounds good. Love as he loved, desire as he desired. Whoa. How can I love as he loved? Okay, I know that's by the Holy Spirit, but how can I have the desires of Jesus Christ? And that's going to take more than the 2 minutes I have left, so we will start right here. And with no review, we'll just come right in and how to have the desires of Jesus Christ. Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Maybe we can beat the hell storm. Heavenly Father, very important scriptures tonight. To pray in Jesus' name. We don't want to take this lightly. What does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? How can I pray in Jesus' name? To have the love of Jesus Christ, the desires of Jesus Christ, the power of Jesus Christ. And what is so phenomenal is that you have given us all of those things. All we need to do is tap into them by faith. Prayer, Heavenly Father, has always been an issue with you and man. I pray that your Spirit will take the things we've seen and motivate us to a prayer life. And a prayer is involving greater works as well as other things. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.